Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus, children, Jesus loves you, Jesus, children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you say inside? You better tell your story back. And if you like it, it will come to pass. They used to be long, oil waste.
tilted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from man? Can't you stand?
Tonight's show. I'm your host, Tony Nix. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome everyone tonight. Glad you tuned in. We've got a great topic tonight. First, let's just talk about our week a little bit here. Here in New York, where I live, weather's been crazy. Been hurricanes. There's been nor'easters, but we as a people are very resilient, and we tend to get knocked down, but not knocked out. We beat the count time and time again. God bless us all. The most important event that took place this week was the re-election of President Obama, and that's what we're talking about tonight. President Obama has been reelected, and I want to know, have we caught on? This is what we're talking about tonight, and the questions that I'm asking is, will we stop waiting and start doing? Do we realize what's on the road ahead for America, especially for African Americans? Does the president's reelection reflect change in America's society? And will racism continue to be overly overt since we have an African-American in the White House? This is what we're talking about tonight, folks. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. You can join in on the conversation. There are no right or wrong answers. Your view is your view. It will be respected so long as you respect others. Also, our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. They will be addressed accordingly. Also, when you do call in, please be aware of background noise or turn your volume down on your computer. Or this is being taped, and we like to have a nice taping so that on the playback, it will be clear. Again, welcome. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. Again, my name is Tony Nix. I'm your host and also the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. You can find us on Facebook or you can go directly to our website at www.enoughisenoughsaveourchildren.org. With that, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to wait for the lines to fill up, and we're going to take some calls in just a moment.
Now me love to see the school as them a graduate. I study hard and save the party for the holidays. Diplomatic with them diploma and them bounty grace. Because them not pick up, no mastic and a perpetrate. And then I love the energies where them a generate. My generation is so special, it will make a change. Because the yellow throw the seed and it a germinate. So anytime them see the progress, them a celebrate. Because the rising of the spite of the economy. And then now we are starting show like the astronomy. And now we keep on breaking through with an anomaly. Because we keep remaining true without apology. The mission of the carry through and finish properly. The Gambia to Guadeloupe or to Napoli. The Zambia to Honolulu back to Tripoli. And everybody wants a future living happily.
Generation subject to gentrification, depicting their frustrations over ill instrumentation. Cause music is the way to convey to you what I'm facing. Placing my life in front of your eye for your observation. Now if you can't relate, then maybe you are too complacent. Athletes today are scared to make Muhammad Ali statements. What's up with tomorrow? Will you lead? Will you follow? Improve your values. Education is real power. I reach them like Bono. So get rid of your self-sorrow. Add to bravado. Get wealthy like Wells Fargo. It's true that I am you, and I am proof, surviving through. We do what we gotta do. Yo, we can break the cycle, let nobody lie to you. Then maybe put our sons and our daughters in private school. Cause there's a mission we gotta finish before we leave. This generation is destined to do historic deeds.
Then that rain brings sun. Been a long time coming, I know change gon' come. Man, I gotta keep it moving to the beat of my drum. Last night I set the future at the feet of my son. But they thinking that my generation gotta die young. If we all come together, then they can't divide one. Don't worry about it, just be about it. Got a message from God, heaven too crowded. But I say, hey young world, you never look better. And I heard change start with the man in the mirror. This generation, I'ma represent. A generation led by a black president. Now how's that for change? Who knew that can change? I don't even look at the flag the same. Hey, so when you finish reading Revelation, thank God for my generation.
My generation will make a change.
And we're back. You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. I love that song, My Generation. You know, I'm not a big Lil Wayne fan, but I got to give him his props. He definitely dropped some serious lyrics just now in that song. Tonight, we're talking about President Obama being reelected, and have we caught on? Meaning, what are we going to do now? Will we stop waiting and start doing? truly realize what's on the road ahead for America, especially for African Americans. With that, I'm going to go right to my lines again. Call in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I'll know you're in the queue. The chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. Let's get it started with my first caller. He's a colleague and friend, also a mentor. I really respect his view, his knowledge. And without further ado, Doc, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good, good. I'm doing good, Tony. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, it's been rough here in New York. We've had a hurricane. We've had a nor'easter. And I know I'm blessed because there's a lot of folks that has lost everything. They're going through a lot of suffering. They're trying to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on. And I know that is not an easy task. So being that I have not had to experience that, I know how truly blessed I am. So, Doc, I got to tell you, I'm not complaining about anything right now.
Hey, well,
how you doing out there? How you doing out there on the West Coast?
Yeah, we're doing good, and we're sending the prayers and the blessings and positive intentions your way.
Thank you. So, Doc, our president has been reelected. What are we going to do now?
Well, Kay and I and Vision Fusion and Bridge Builder Publishing, for us, it's business as usual. It's hard work ahead. We worked 4 years ago, and our nose is to the grindstone and continue to do the work that we've been doing. So there's no change for us. It's the same work that we've been doing for 4 years. It's just the continued work that we have been doing. So nothing has changed for us. Tony, you know the work that we've been doing, and so it's continued work for us. So with that said, we can't speak for anybody else. We can only speak for ourselves, and for us, nothing has changed for us. It's continued work for us. We started working before he was elected before, and so it's continued work for us. And I'd like to say if there had been someone else elected, it would have been the same deal. We would have started to work for whoever was elected president.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment, Doc. Suppose someone else had been elected. You know, for instance, Mitt Romney. What kind of hope do you believe people would have had in America? Because
well,
I don't
for us.
Okay, go ahead.
For us, we probably would have gotten our business plan together a little bit faster so we could have packed our bags up to get out of here a little bit quicker.
I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead. I don't mean to laugh. Excuse me. That was just a little unexpected, but go ahead. Pardon me, man. I'm sorry.
And looked for more angel investors. No, I think it would have been a little bit harder for us with Romney in there because I think Romney's view was looking for a different kind of audience and not necessarily the middle class and blue-collar workers, which is the type of people that we've been working for and looking forward to serving most of our lives, and that is the downtrodden and the blue collar and people that are not privileged. That's the population that we want to serve. And so if there had been a different president, we would have continued to work toward that particular population, regardless of who is in office, because that has been the population that we worked with all of our lives, and that's where our roots are at, and that's where we came from. And so that's been our focus, and that'll probably be our focus until we die. So that wouldn't have changed. I think we would have tried to direct people to direct their energies in that direction and shine more light on that particular population. And we'll continue that. I think it might have been a little harder. And yet I think the system is going to, in itself, make us shine the light on that population without much. It's not going to take much to shine the light on that population. I think
well,
Mother Nature is going to.
If I may ask, what population are you talking about?
I'm talking about the entire population
of America, or a certain part of the population?
I'm talking about the have and the have-nots, and I think there's more have-nots than there are haves. I'm talking about the privileged and the less privileged. And you can break that up into any groups that you want. You can break it up into ethnicities. You can break it up into color. You can break it up into classism. You can break it up into, I don't want to say, there's only one race, and people keep using this term, different races. There's only one race. It's called human. So we don't use the terms racism, different races. There aren't different races. There's only one race. It's called human. There's different ethnic groups. There's different cultural groups. But there's only one race. And so we try to correct that with our language. And so I think Africans living in America, we have been on the bottom because we were chosen to come over here and build this country. We are still on the bottom because when we were brought here, our language was taken. We still haven't gotten over that part of it. We're still the only group in America that has to have a Voting Rights Act that's voted on for us to be able to vote. We're the only group out of the different ethnic groups that have that. And I think that has a psychological effect on you. And I think we are oppressed internally. And I think there are so many things that we have going that we have to work on all the time. And most of the time, a major portion of our population is not even aware that we have those things happening all at one time, and the energy that it takes to work on those. And then we have the spotlight that's being shown on us by the media and by those with power and influence to make us, in essence, fight amongst ourselves, make assertions about who we are and what we are. And it's a hard system to navigate in.
Wow, Doc. You know, I agree mostly. I agree mostly. You know, but at the same time, when do we catch on? When do we catch on? You know, President Obama, he's been reelected. Okay. We wanted him back in office. He's now back in office. My question is, what are we going to do now? Are we going to continue to wait and do nothing, or are we going to start doing it? You know, Doc, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that President Barack Obama needs to do more for people of color, it's specifically African Americans in America, do you believe that he needs to do more?
No.
Why not?
I believe that you have to do for yourself. Tony, I don't believe you can do anything for me. Okay? You have to become self-sufficient. I believe that the system, this is a system. President Obama is doing what he can. It's like the school system. We have to take it back. We have to take it back. We have to do it.
I agree with that. I truly believe that too many of us are sitting back waiting for President Barack Obama to deliver when I feel he has delivered and will continue to deliver. You know,
yes.
Well, our part is catching on and waking up and doing what we need to do. And that's where
right.
I feel we are failing. That's where
that's
I feel
right.
we are failing as African Americans. Okay? We're not taking advantage of the opportunity that we have right now, the momentum that we have right now, because we, believe it or not, we do have some momentum. Okay, this past election proves the momentum that we have.
Right.
You know, I'm
right.
hopeful that we don't let it escape us, that we grasp onto
right.
it and do what we need to do as individuals,
right.
as men and women, for ourselves,
right.
for our children, okay, to bring us to a point where we need to be in America's society. If we don't
right.
do that, shame on us. That's the way I see it. Now, you know, some folks may disagree, and they may feel that President Obama needs to do more, but I still have to go back to he's the president of the United States, not the president of Black America.
That's right.
You know.
And the thing is, he's the president for all of us. For all of the United States, and his job is to unite these United States of all of the different ethnic and cultural groups, period. That's it. And so I'm sorry if any particular groups don't think that they've gotten their fair share if he hasn't said the right words enough time for each group. Sorry about that. Suck it up. Suck it up. You know, he signed an education bill here a few months ago for Africans living in America. What are we doing about it? What are Africans living in America doing about that? Stop it. Quit crying and do something about it. What are you doing? When's the last time you went to school with your son or daughter? Stop it.
Well, Doc, you got a valid point there. You know, still at the same time, you know, folks tend to, how do I say this? You know, they stay stuck. You know, when sometimes what you need is a real kick in the rear to make you move. That's, you know, you can come up with all kind of reasons of why you're not doing this or you're not doing that. But the bottom line is, if you want better, then you need to do better. And if you don't know how, then you learn how to do better.
Well, it wasn't a real kick in the rear when Romney, the first hour of this, watching TV or the returns on this election, when when Romney was ahead of President Obama. That wasn't a real kick in the rear. Kind of made my blood pressure increase when I thought about going back to plantation.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, you know, for me, there was nothing in Mitt Romney's campaign that made me feel like he was about change for the country as a whole. I knew what would happen to me if he became president. But as the country as a whole, I know he did not have America's best interests at heart. Doc, I'm going to take some more calls. Don't go anywhere. Stay right there. I'm going to take this next caller. Caller, I didn't screen you, so I'm just going to bring you in. That's area code 216-681. Caller, are you there? Good evening.
I am here. Good evening. This is Cindy. How are you, sir?
Oh, welcome, Miss Cindy. How are you?
I am fantastic. You have a great topic. This has just been amazing, and the doc brought out some very interesting points, and I agree, because a lot of times we tend to make this situation a black and white issue or racial issue, and at the end of the day, it's about the have and the have-nots. So I have to agree with you, Doc, on that point. I want to go back and talk about the presidential election. My opinion, I'm kind of glad this dog and pony show is over, and I call it a dog and pony show based on the mere fact that I do know that people who are not of color are smart enough to not have a man like Romney to represent them in terms of inconsistency and his inability to remain focused on one particular topic. So that became very evident to me early on throughout the debate. The different debates that they had, that this definitely, I don't want to say it was prearranged, but I believe that President Obama was going to win regardless.
Right.
You have to take a look at the bigger picture. I call it a dog and pony show because if you go back to the early 70s, I believe it was, I don't remember Kissinger's last name, but I think he was the Secretary of State back in 74, 76 or something or another. Can't recall the exact years, and I do apologize for that, but leave it to the name was Henry Kissinger. And at the end of the day, he developed a plan for population control.
Mm.
The plan is being carried out, and the question today here in 2012, would it have been Romney or would it be Barack Obama to carry out that plan? When you take a look at the larger picture, population control. His plan basically stated that diseases, war, disaster, and famine would be the major factors that would contribute or to decrease the population and increase death rate. Take a look around us, and especially with the have-nots. We're here. We've been plagued with diseases. We're in the midst of a war amongst ourselves. We need not to even speak on the disaster piece. And when you talk about famine, everything around us in the inner city, first of all, most inner cities across the U.S. no longer have decent groceries anymore. The grocery stores have closed down, but yet there's a McDonald's and a Burger King on every corner.
That's true.
So when you start talking about plans that were implemented and set forth back in the 70s, and here we are in 2012, and that's just to give you an example. They're being carried out. And the question is, by whom? Romney was very blatant with it, very straightforward when you start talking about the issues cutting early childhood education. What other way to deal with population control, because again, our most developmental years or impressionable years is ages one through five.
Correct.
This is when you learn your foundation. So if you decide that you're going to cut out early childhood, you basically have determined, or you're able to predict, if this kid will even be equipped to graduate from high school. Because if he doesn't have the foundation, he won't be able to move forward and develop in the manner in which he should, if you will.
And you know what? I have to agree with you. Yeah, God, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying,
I'm
we have a host of concerns. No, you're fine. We have a host of concerns, and I think that we need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And I apologize, didn't mean to offend anybody with the dog and pony show, but to me that's exactly what it's been over the last 6 to 9 months. I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that Obama is in. That I'm glad. And I'm going to hope that he is at least able to redirect some of the madness that's coming down the pipe as it relates to the have-nots.
Right. And I hope so also. Let me ask you this, Miss Cindy. Because he was reelected, do you believe America's society is changing? Is a part of America's society that's changing? Because
I think
there were
have,
all kind of there were, hold on before you answer. There were all kind of themes and things done to prevent him from being reelected. And in spite of all those things, he still was reelected. I think that's a strong message from society that they are tired. They are tired of what the Republicans have been offering and doing. That they have no faith in their policies or plans, because their policies and plans does not help, as you stated, the have-nots. I'm going to say the have-nots. Because there's a lot of have-nots in America today. Jobs, health care, these are things that, in education, these are things that they're trying, that they wanted to cut and do away with and repeal, and these are things that Americans need. The citizens of America, these things are vital. So I believe the message for me is, no, y'all don't want us to have anything. This is about rich folk and rich folk only. And I believe America said no, no. We are tired. We're losing our homes. Our children are dying in the streets. And as you said, there's a lot of disaster going on. Here in New York, the weather, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, because I've never, ever witnessed weather like this in New York in my entire life. So I really believe our president is on top of what's going on in our country, that he is not going to let us suffer anymore, that he's going to bring change and by any means necessary, that he will not be stopped, especially in his second term. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I am definitely looking forward to some positive changes. It's well needed. I think everyone has been affected by the economy, by the cut of social services, the cut of support services across the U.S., and a positive change is definitely in order. And I'm just going to pray that they allow President Obama to make a positive change.
Cindy,
if you
I'm
notice
sorry.
Over the last his last 4 years, every attempt to make a change, they fought him.
Exactly.
And that became a distractor. So we never really focused on the real issues. It was always the distraction of the Tea Party, the Republicans, the this, the that. And we never really made progress on the real issues on the table.
No, we didn't. They tried to block everything. But now that America has spoken, they have to come to the table. I truly believe that they're going to blink. There is no doubt in my mind. And it's not because they love the people of America. Their party is sinking because of what they've been doing. And they cannot continue to do that. We got another part to this, to my show tonight. I want to talk about the very, very racist attacks since the re-election of President Obama. We're going to talk about that and what we need to do and how we're going to do it and where we need to start right after take a short break. Our calling number tonight again is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments in there. We'll be right back right after this.
Oh, there they go.
Due to the overwhelming amount of listener requests, the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour will be expanding to 3 shows a week.
Reggie Bullock Radio Hour.
Every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., Barbershop Talk. Call in and express your views.
Every time I start talking about boxing.
Uncensored.
I bet Dr. Michael came on. You lied.
Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m.
He beat your Lord's ass.
That's right, he did whoop your Lord's ass.
On Thursday night, join us for Lenny's Life Lessons. A former All-State basketball player and now a father, radio personality Leonard Miller shares his youthful wisdom as the co-host of the Reggie Bullock Radio Hour on Thursday nights. On Friday, join us for Harv's Funny Friday. In the tradition of Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, comedian Harvey Knowles starts your weekend off right with 1 hour of laughter on Friday night from 7 to 8. And it all starts June 6th. 2 new co-hosts, 3 incredible shows on the
Reggie
Bullock
Radio
Hour.
You're listening to EIE, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we're talking about the re-election of President Obama, what we need to do as a people since he has been re-elected. We're also going to talk about the overt racism and racial attacks since he's been re-elected. We've had violence on college campuses. We've had vicious disagreements on social networks such as Twitter and Facebook. I even experienced it myself. I had a Facebook friend who, it was pretty evident and clear to me that he was very, very sore about the fact that President Obama was reelected. I could gather that from his comments that he made, stating that African Americans were being vengeful, and statements like we need to get over it, such as slavery and things of that nature. You know, what he made it sound like to me was he even used God. He threw God under the bus to justify his comments, and what I gathered from him, that this man was a racist, bottom line. He's no longer my friend on Facebook, and that's by his choice, not mine, because I did not delete him. He deleted himself. In our dialogue, there were statements made about color of skin. Now, you know, he stated that there were light brown white folk, which I've never seen a light brown white person in my life unless they were coming out of a tanning salon or something. Also, when he was giving me the examples of light brown white people, he stated Arabs and Indians, when they're a race of themselves. They're not white. You know, anyway, we're going to talk about that in the next half of our show, the racial unrest being spewed all over the place behind President Obama being reelected. I'm going to go right to Doc and get his view on that. Doc, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, vicious name-calling, fighting. I even read where a guy fired like 22 employees because Barack Obama was reelected. I mean, what kind of madness is that? How bitter can a Pope be?
Well, they can be that bitter.
Well, help me understand, Doc. Are we a country divided when we should be a country united?
Why is that shocking to you?
Okay, Doc, I'm going to tell you why it's so shocking. Okay, we've had, all of our presidents have been white prior to President Obama.
Okay.
And black folks may have not been pleased with whoever was in office. They may even have called a few names, okay? But not to the degree that people have done it since President Obama has been reelected, and even before he was reelected. Now it's just to another level. What is going on in America?
Well, this is America. You have freedom of speech. And coming up to the election, you had one of the largest spikes in gun sales in America. Didn't that give you some clue as to what was going on here in America?
Well, you know, Doc, I forgot that, yes, I did see that. Well, what is the spike in gun sales?
Look, what do you think? You have people in fear. Black people scare people. You scare people, okay? You're scary.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. What makes you more afraid of us now than you were before? I don't understand.
Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean? After almost 400 years, you put one of y'all in office? What are you talking about? That's not scary. And then I have one of the richest men in the world who's white that can't beat him. Oh, man. I am really fearful now. Okay?
Yep.
Think about that.
Okay. It's funny that you should mention the money aspect of it, okay, because they spent a lot of money to get him out of office. And it still didn't work. They still lost. I mean, you had people like Donald Trump. You had like people like Donald Trump. He's on Twitter. Just going bananas. Rush Limbaugh. The usual guys. Then you got some other folks. I mean, you got some of the stuff that I've seen on Facebook. I mean, unreal. Unreal. Name calling. And you know what, Doc? I truly believe it goes back to what you just said. Fear. What are you afraid of? What are you really afraid of? And I really truly believe you're afraid of we're going to catch on to where we can go if we do what we need to do. That's the only thing you could be afraid of, because it's not like black folks is going to start an uprising. I just don't see that happening. I really don't see that happening.
Well, fear doesn't have to be based. It doesn't have to be real, but it's real to the person that is fearful. You know what I'm saying?
Wow! And it's overly overt. It's overly overt.
Yeah.
Just hate,
yeah.
Hate. If you say,
but it's
you're
not
happy
only overt,
about Barack president, huh? If you say you are happy about the president being reelected, oh, my God, it is met with such hate. So, and then, you know, they try to disguise it with political rhetoric and God. I mean, they, you know, foolishness. Oh, he endorsed gay marriage. You know, come on, is that all you got? Is that all you got? Come on, tell the truth. Tell the truth. You know, just reveal who you really are, because you're not hiding it. I can see through you. I can see you. I see you. You're a hateful person. You're a hateful person. And you cannot accept the fact that this man of color sits in the White House. And
exactly
what
right.
You need to wait, what you need to wake up for to is he is for you just as he is for me also. Also.
Right. And
they're missing it. They're missing it because of the internal hate that they've been taught and probably practiced.
Right. And here's another thing that really fuels that is no matter what has happened and what people have done, he's always taken the high road. No matter what's been said or done to him, he's always taken the high road. He's never stooped down to take the low road. He's always taken the high road.
Exactly. He
always.
Is not displayed. He has never displayed angry black man. He has never displayed
right.
that. No matter how they attack him, no matter how many names they call him, because they've called him every name in the book, from monkey to you can go through all the between, and you know what it ends with at the end. Okay? And he has never displayed that. Now, on the other hand, there is angry white man. Across the nation. Across
right.
the nation. I want to bring Miss Cindy in on this and hear her comment. Miss Cindy, are you there? Hello, Miss Cindy?
I'm
you
here.
Me? Yeah, did you
yes,
hear me? And
what's your question?
Say again? No, I was asking, I mean, Doc was talking about the... You know, the hate that has been spewed and the comments and attacks on President Obama since he's been reelected, how it has gone to another level because it was happening in his first 4 years. But now that he's beginning his second 4 years, it has gone to another level. I mean, what is your view on that?
I hope it's an eye-opener that we still have some folks here in 2012 that have problems with African-Americans. I hope that it's an eye-opener as it relates to the blatant disrespect. Because if they talk to the President of the United States and the manner in which they have addressed him and spoken to him, that should let us know that we don't have a lot of... wiggle room for error in our everyday behavior. That's the message that I'm hoping that our young people get, because they seem to think that they have rights and, you know, they can put their foot down and they can flex, and unfortunately it's ending them, they're ending up in jail. Of course I'm not
yep.
in agreement. Go ahead.
No, go first.
No, I agree with you.
Oh, he's disagreeing.
I am not. He's disagreeing?
No, he's agreeing.
No, I agree.
He was just agreeing. He agrees.
Yeah, the blatant disrespect is just unbelievable. But I have to agree with the doc. I don't know that I would have expected anything differently.
Really?
A black man
really?
In a position of power would, yes, it's going to be problematic. In their minds, it'll never be a peaceful state for them to know that, yeah, there's an African-American male in a position of power. Just take a look at your local companies, whether they're Fortune 500 companies or whether they're small companies in your area. How many of your larger companies that you can actually say there's an African-American male in upper management? So when you start talking about...
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Before you, I'll hold my comment. Go ahead.
No, continue on. Go ahead.
No, because, you know, there are a lot of African-American men that are in upper management. Okay. At the same time, I was listening or I read something the other day after the election. A guy said that right after the election, he said he was the only black in this company. He said his coworkers wouldn't speak to him. And, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I could see maybe a few, but he said none of them. None of his coworkers, he said their attitude, you could feel the tension coming off them. You know, and, you know, all this time, I don't know. I know racism exists in this country, but for me, I'm just realizing the level that it's at.
May I ask you a question?
Hold on. Because we know that Mitt Romney's plan was not to help America. Still, certain states voted for him overwhelmingly, knowing good and well that he didn't have their best interests at heart. Okay? That is how strong racism and hate is in this country. My God. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. You wanted to ask a question,
Ms. Indy? Let me ask you this. If President Barack was a few inches taller, a few pounds heavier, and his skin tone was a little darker, okay.
He wouldn't be there. I answer for you, Miss Cindy.
He wouldn't be there.
I answer
there.
For you.
Wait a minute, Doc. Why would he?
Ahead,
I read her mind.
He
wouldn't be in there. He could bend over, squeeze his ankle. He's done. No, he wouldn't be there.
Oh, my God, Doc. What did you just say? I don't even want to address that. But
Cindy, no. Miss Cindy, no. Hell no. Miss Cindy, no.
No.
We ain't having that.
You know, wait a minute, you two. Okay?
No, Miss Cindy.
Hold on, Doc.
Miss Cindy. He is not going to be the president of the United States, okay?
Hold on, Doc. You know, that's another thing that has been, you know, Wait a minute, Doc. People keep saying he's half white. You know, it's like, where do you guys keep getting this from? What do you mean he's half white? I don't understand.
Well, he better be half white up top and not down at the bottom. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord.
I've lost it.
Not feeling good tonight. That's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You every time. Why you do this to me?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
No, you're not.
But this is... This, I've heard this over and over again. He's not black. He's half white. Come on.
Well, that's the half to let in.
If we all go in our gene pool, okay, you're going to find some of everything. Okay?
Thank you.
All right? But folks are caught up on he's half white. Come on. Give me, you know. And they argue about it. This is what kills me. They argue about it. You know. And I asked someone the other day. I said, well, in that case, so what are you saying? Light-skinned black folks? What are they, half white? And they looked at me like I had seven heads. You know, I was like, well, look what you're saying to me. But you can't answer that question.
Let's just say he had two black parents. If his physical features were off just a centimeter or two, it would still be problematic. When you talked about fear a little earlier in terms of presentation of the African-American male, unfortunately, there's a negative stigma there. The darker, the heavier, and the taller, the African-American male appears to be, there is a major threat that's associated with that individual. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that I even condone it. But as a female, I'm 6 feet, and I'm a nice-sized girl. I get the treatment. I cannot even remain firm in a meeting to address my point. I have to actually raise my hand, be very soft-spoken in my tone. I have to be careful with my body language. And in many cases, when I'm communicating with someone, I have to sit down and look up to them, because if I stand, I pose a threat.
Wow.
So these dynamics exist with me as a female. I could not imagine what the African-American male goes through on a day-to-day basis. So when you start talking about our president, I think that it would be, not I think, I know that it would be very problematic if he was darker than a brown paper bag.
Really? Well, you know, I don't know. You know.
Let me respond to that.
Okay, well, go ahead, Doc. Go ahead.
She's giving it to you straight, brother. You're getting an African queen perspective tonight. She is putting it out there. let me give you one. I got my PhD in 1994. Now, I had been whitened. Now, I knew I could make it after I got this PhD. I got my PhD. My wife and I were driving back to the house, and I was just happy because I got it at a major white racist research institution. Not very many people that look like me got a PhD. Black man with a PhD. I am, you know what color skin I got. I got this chocolate skin. I look good. I am 200 and some pounds of chiseled black man. I am proud. I got this PhD. I know I can make it. I'm going to rise to the top. As we're driving home, my wife is in tears. I didn't get it at the time because I know that I'm going to be at the top. We're going to make it. My wife's in tears. I look over at her because she had gotten her degree also. You know what she says to me? You don't get it. I said, what are you talking about? She says, pull over. I pulled over. She says, you don't get it. I says, what do you mean? I says, I got the PhD now. I pulled it out so she could see it. She says, I see it. She says, they're not going to let you play. The MASA is not going to let you play. They're not going to let you play. They're not going to let you in. They're not going to let you sit at the table. They're not going to let you in. Now that you have a PhD, they're not going to let you in. They're going to shut you out.
Well, Don, because of how you look, because of how you, well, you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm playing the devil's advocate, but I understand what you're saying. Because, see, I know I have a look, and it can be very intimidating, not threatening, intimidating. And I've come across people who don't really know how to approach me because of that look. And, as Miss Cindy stated, you know, I have to present myself in a way where they feel comfortable because they're afraid. Now, that still, for me, shouldn't cause people to act the way they act. I'm sorry. You know, you got to give an individual the benefit of the doubt. You know, how our features are our features. You know, Y'all talked about him being maybe a shade darker, you know. I know, you know, when we say this, I know I've said it, you know, we say token black. Now, I know a lot of companies, white companies, they get the blackest person they can find just so they can say, well, we didn't pick a light-skinned black or, you know, a light brown black. You know, we got the darkest we could find. So, you know, I don't know. This is kind of like a pros and cons in there. You know what I mean? Catch 22. You know?
Yeah.
Do they get that real dark person who's a nerd? You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, like, go figure. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, you know. Go ahead, Doc.
But they have to get the right kind. There's, you know, it's like during a time of slavery, you have to get a house one or a field one. They don't get the field one. They get the house one.
Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. Listen, I got another caller on the line. That's caller 585-713. If you can hear me, caller, welcome to tonight's show. Caller 585-713-2203. Caller, are you there? Caller, if you're there and you want to speak, plus one, because I see your number. Okay, caller, I guess you don't want to say anything. But back to what we're talking about tonight. You listen, we're talking about, Doc, cut it out. We're talking about President Obama being reelected, the racial attacks, and what are we going to do as a people, especially African Americans? Are we going to sit back waiting for President Obama to specifically step up and make a whole lot of stuff happen for us that we can make happen for ourselves? You know, what are we doing besides talking? Because we're not doing what we need to do, especially in our communities. Our children are committing self-inflicted genocide. We're not getting involved like we should. We're waiting on the Calvary when we are the Calvary. We're talking about how our neighborhoods don't have this and we don't have that. Well, maybe because we're not putting enough in our communities to have anything. Are we not holding ourselves accountable? When do we start to do that? When do we realize that President Obama and his family sitting in the White House are an example of where we could get to if we do the work? Because they did the work to get there. Him and his wife did the work to get there. Okay, they didn't get a free ride in. They did the work to get there. All right, this is America. All right, we've been talking about how America, a part of America, let me say that, not America as a whole, having a very big issue with him being in there because of the color of his skin. He's the example for us to do what we need to do. We don't have any more excuses. I heard Doc talk about the oppression, the internalized oppression. Okay, we're aware of that. So what do we do now? Okay, this learned helplessness. We know about that. What do we do now? Okay, we educate ourselves on how to move forward and stop staying stuck in our own nonsense, because that's what we're doing. That's right, I said it. We're staying stuck in our own nonsense. We don't want to be accountable. We want to wait for somebody else to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. Okay? We have praying people. We have church-going people. Well, God has delivered. Now what are you going to do? This is the time to step up for yourselves, for your families, for your lives, for your children, especially your children. Children are the future. You don't want to get left behind, because we live in a world that changes every day, every moment. Technology. There's some things we need to learn. But until we are able to tell ourselves the truth that it is us and no one else, that it begins and ends with us, then we're going to stay stuck where we're at. And that will not be President Obama's fault. That will be our fault. So I say, stop it. Just stop it. We have a chance to move forward because that was President Obama's calling card this year, moving forward. Are you going to move forward too, or are you going to stay stuck? Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back right after this.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh, I believe the fire burns. We stay alive. They will talk about us like they talk about the king before us.
These are the words of a believer, achiever, leader of the globe. Feed the souls of those in need. I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over trouble puddles. Hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress. Extremities of life in this process. Birth of a son, death of another. With love, I caress both mothers and told them who's in control is the one that's above us. I walk where money talks and love stutters. Body language of a nation going through changes. The young become dangerous. Pain gets spent in the anger. Anger gets sent through the chamber. It's tough when you own look like strangers. We are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers. If you could, how would Ernie Barnes paint us? Look at the picture, hard not to blame us. But time forgives, and it's time where the young die often. Do they end up in a coffin because we haven't talked them? Is it what we talking? We really ain't walking. Dudes hustlers pay, how much did it cost them? Find myself on the same corner that we lost them. Real talking, in their ear like a Walkman. Thoughts been around the corner to the world. When I see them, I see my baby girl. Believe, believe.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die.
Believe,
believe. The fire burns, we stay alive. They will talk about us like they talk about the king before us.
Yeah, the Lord lives among us. The youngest hunger becomes a means to get it by any ways necessary under pressure. Children feeling lesser, which is still a front addresser. Killing will aggressive. Destiny children, survivors, soldiers. In front of buildings, they eyes look older. Hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way that Langston Hughes wrote up. Stone controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah. Culture baited to overcome ever since we came overseas today. In the way that you can see to be determined. Solar keeps burning, shorties know to keep learning. Lessons in our life are like stripes to be earning. Took Gramps' advice, said Christ is returning. Like a thief in the night, I write for beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys and park valleys, street hits, spark rallies are the conscious conquerors of a concept that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe.
And we're back. You're listening to EIESOC at Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough Save Our Children, based here in New York City. Tonight we're talking about the re-election of President Obama. What effect has it had on America? The racial tension that it has caused, and have we caught on as a people that it is time for us to do and stop waiting. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on the conversation. Also, our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. Before I go back to my callers that are on the line, I just want to state that, you know, I'm a strong believer in God. You know, I know I'm not. I go to church every Sunday, read my Bible every day, say, quote this scripture, that scripture. I'm not that kind of guy. I believe in grace and mercy. America has its oppressors. And I'm one of the people that has been oppressed. Still at the same time, I've never used it as an excuse not to do what I need to do to live as an individual. I know that making excuses and blaming will not help me at all. I have to adjust and do what I need to do. And it's just that simple. Just that simple. And I know there's a God, and he's got my back to the fullest. Because trust me, I got a story. And if I told you my story, it should have ended other than me telling you I got one. I'm going to go to the lines. I see a caller just called in. I'm going to go right to this caller. That's caller 347-653. Caller, welcome to tonight's show. Hello.
Hi, good evening, Tony.
Good evening. Who is this?
This is Shanae.
Oh, hello, Shanae. Welcome to the show. Thank you. You got my message. Thank you for calling
in. I just
saw
it.
You were talking about President Obama's reelection and, you know, what we need to do, the racial overtones. You know, what, you got any view on that? You know?
Yes. My mom, who lives out in Suffolk County, and it was really crazy. She was explaining to me, you know, the different things he was experiencing out in Suffolk County, like way out east, and I couldn't believe it. You know, she was saying that other races were kind of upset, and she was, you know, she can tell in the attitude and how they treated her. So that kind of surprised me a little bit, you know, especially now. But I'm very excited that he won, and I didn't hear the whole show, but we definitely have to do our part as well. And one of the things that I did do, Tony, was I went back to look at the debate, the first debate in 2008. And that was very interesting to me. He has pretty much lived up to what he, you know, what he said he was going to do. And so, like he was saying, we definitely have to do our part. You know, he's one person, but we definitely have to do our part and hopefully get back out there again in the primaries. You know, we have to vote for the, you know, the representatives. So we can get the House back. You know, so
right.
We just have to continue. We showed up in great numbers with this election, and hopefully in the future we will continue to do the same.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, Shanae. As a people,
mm-hmm.
and that was a very good point you just made about the midterm election. As a people, though, in our own lives, what improvements do you feel we need to make? Do you think that right now is our time because
definitely.
We have an African-American in the White House?
Definitely. This time is definitely a time for people of color, period, to really, you know, stand up and do what we have to do, definitely, without a doubt. And it was interesting to me, like a few younger people would say, oh, I don't believe in the voting process and this, you know, I don't vote, you know, they're all against us. I said, well, you know, what would support your argument if, you know, if you do go out and vote, that would support your argument, you know. And so just basically just believing in the process and being a part of the process. You know, it's easy. I always tell people it's easy to complain. You know, it's easy
yes,
to point
it
fingers, easy to say, you know, he don't do this, and they, you know, but we can become present.
Exactly.
You know, so. Exactly. You know, I definitely feel motivated. And in my 8-year-old, he voted at school. I thought that was wonderful. And so when he came home from school, he said, "Mommy, I voted for President Barack Obama." And so we just, you know, we're being leaders and examples for our generation to come, for the next generation.
Exactly. For me, there's no more excuses. It's just no more excuses.
No.
You know, there's no more, you know, we, and I know you're a spiritual woman. That, I know that. And we pray, and we ask for what we want and what we need. And I know for me, when I pray, I don't get what I want. I always receive what I need. I always receive
Absolutely.
What I need. Therefore, I stay grateful. You know,
yes.
And God for me has given us what we need.
Yes, he has.
He has given us an
example. Especially,
right.
Sorry, go ahead.
He has given us an example of where, you know, what we can do and what we can achieve. And are we sitting back, staying blinded by foolishness, to me, foolishness.
Right.
And letting it slip by us.
Right.
This
Absolutely.
President Obama has demonstrated to me, to black men, see, you don't have to be an angry black man to succeed.
No, you don't.
Look at me. As much as they attack me, call me names, won't cooperate with what I'm trying to achieve, they still cannot get me to display angry black men.
No, they couldn't. And they tried their best.
And that is an example for me and others like me.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you win. This is how you win. Not just the president of election. This is how you win in society. Don't let them get to you. Because they're counting on getting to you. They're counting on you being reactive instead of proactive. If I say
absolutely.
Wow, all of a sudden the lines are really, really full here. Okay, don't go nowhere. Hold on. I got a couple more callers. Don't go anywhere. I got another caller here. That's caller 314-381. Caller, good evening. Are you there? 314-381. All right, hold on. How are you? Who am I speaking to?
It's Bianchi. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Now, I see y'all talking about racism. What in the world are we still worrying about racism? And what you said, are you talking about individual success or are you talking about group success? Because we had millionaires during the height of slavery. But
okay.
As a
who
group,
am I speaking to again? Wait a minute. I want to make sure I get your name
this
right.
This is Bianchi calling from the Midwest.
Okay, sir. Welcome to the show. Now, what did you say again? I didn't hear your question.
Well, I asked the question is that I've seen where you had emphasis, quotation, racism. And I asked the question, why in the world are we continuing to be distracted by this word racism? But racism today has evolved into something else than what it was. And another point, are you speaking about group success or individual success? Because as a group, we fall way short. And, you know, Obama, the Democrats was able to pull out an election. You got a small blue spots amongst a sea of red comparing to the statewide. That means that the population in this country is located in a general area. But my question is that, you know, you're talking about angry black men not to be angry, but when you look at what's going on in black communities, how else can you not be angry? What economy does blacks control in their community? I mean, that's a good question. Now is the time when that should be changed. I'm sure you would agree. But you hear very, very little about moving in that particular direction. What's your position on that?
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? You said it. Okay? But, see, we're waiting for someone else to do it for us when we need to be doing it for ourselves. And we're not doing that. We're sitting back waiting for the Calvary to come, and we're the Calvary. So, you know, a lot of that anger that we got, some of that anger, we got to own that. Because we're not doing nothing. We're doing a lot of complaining. We're doing a lot of complaining. But what we're not doing is being accountable for our own conditions.
Well, yeah, I agree with
you.
You understand
what I'm
saying? Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And you know something else, too. But according to projections from the U.S. Census, by 2050, blacks, in 1960, blacks were 11% of the population. In 2000, they was 12% of the population. And by 2050, they're going to be only 13% of the population. But these other ethnic groups are going to be springing forward like rabbits. Hispanics are going to be about 30%. Asians is going to surpass us. So what's going on? And, you know, I don't want to take up your whole show.
No, take your time, sir, because I'm going to extend this because there's some more callers on the line, so take your time. And everybody's mic is open, so, you know, chime in when you want to. As I said, it's up to us. You know, that's what I'm saying. Have we caught on yet? What, you know, are we still allowing ourselves to stay in the dark? Because we can come out into the light if we want to. We got a choice. But we're acting like we don't have any other choice other than
Tony,
what's going on.
Tony, hello? I think one thing that...
Doc, you there? Good. I can hear you.
Yeah. I think one thing that you've said through the whole show, and I don't know whether the gentleman has listened to the whole show, but one thing that you've said over and over again that I think needs the show has, we've repeated over and over again, that President Obama has modeled for, I think for everyone, is this thing with anger that needs to subside. We need to control that and somehow figure out another way of doing business.
Exactly.
We sure need to get out of this blame game after 400 years. It's a system. It's a system at work, and we need to figure out how to work the system and make the system work for us. Other groups have. And this thing about race, different races, there's only one race. It's called human. There's different ethnic groups and different cultures, and there's only one race. There's not different races. There's only one race. It's called human race. There's different ethnic groups. And so we need to figure out how these other groups make it work and figure out how we're going to make our particular group work.
When it comes to the anger issue, okay, we angry with each other. Black women is angry with black men, you know, vice versa, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe there's some hurting and healing, that process we need to go through. Okay, well, let's get it started. Because this being angry at each other all the time, it really needs to stop. Doc, let me bring in my next caller real quick. Hold, stand by. Caller 301-339. How are you this evening? Hello? 301-339? Caller, are you there? You're on the air.
I'm here. I had it on mute. Can you
how
hear
are
me?
You? I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Okay, let me take it off speaker. Okay. There are a couple of comments, really, that I want to make. Number one is I think a lot of times we as black people really make a lot of excuses. The reality is there are those that are going to get it, and there are those who won't. Now, I'm sitting here as I was talking to you. I went to blackenterprise.com. Most of us are familiar with that. The editor, I think, in chief is Earl Graves. We know about the magazine. It depends on where your focus is. If you take the time to look at people who are doing it, who are making it successful within our black race, then I don't think we really can put too much energy to those who aren't. Yeah, we have angry black people, angry black men, angry black women and all of that, but we also have a huge, huge majority of successful black men and women, successful in terms of, you know, growing businesses and graduating from colleges, becoming doctors and lawyers and people that are really contributing greatly to society. And again, if people would just pick up a Black Enterprise magazine, see, I don't really see a whole lot of what other people see, and I guess that's because my focus is channeled differently. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of time into what people aren't doing and what people should be doing and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's not to say I won't try to help. I won't try to contribute. But the reality is, and I'm quite sure everybody on this live will agree with me, a lot of people want the success, they want the money or whatever, but they're not willing to put the effort in that it takes to get it. That's why we have so many Negroes, black folks, African Americans, whatever we call ourselves these days, playing the lottery. They want the quick fix. They don't want the hard work. And so, you know, I don't know that there ever really will be an answer to any of this other than the fact that people have to just, you make up your mind. If you read the biographies of any successful black person, they made a decision. I decided to do ABC XYZ, and as a result of those decisions, they got the consequences that came along with that, which was their success of their business or whatever it is. So that's all I really wanted to say. It's difficult, but at the end of the day, it's every individual's individual choice.
Mm. Any comments? All right.
She hit it.
Miss Cindy, are you still there?
Hmm?
Oh, perhaps. Miss Cindy, are you still there?
I am. I apologize. I had muted my phone.
Did you hear her comment?
Yes, and I am inclined to agree with the young lady for the most part. We have to accept responsibility as individuals. And I think it was Doctor stated about the blame game. We oftentimes want to point the finger and blame other folks when it's just time for us to it's time for us to make it happen. And it starts with our thought process. Unfortunately, along the way, there's been a socialization process that everything is instant. It's a quick fix. Don't worry about working hard for it. It's going to come, you know, in a matter of seconds. And I don't know how we became this instantaneous society, but we're here. And unfortunately, it has affected the mindset of quite a few folks. And I think that's where it starts when you talk about making a change. The individual themselves have to accept responsibility and be willing to make some positive changes in their own thought process.
Wow.
Well,
you
know,
I was getting ready to call on you, sir. That's who
you
I
know,
was.
I hear, you know, blacks have to do things as a group. Native American Indians have 252 casinos, and those 252 casinos gross more money than 1.9 million black businesses, which, by the way, hire less than a million employees. 87% of black businesses gross less than $50,000 a year. Now, that's not good. It has to turn around. I mean, amongst all, somebody mentioned there's only one human race, which is right. And that race consists of many ethnicities. But out of all the ethnicities, our business performance ranks last. Those have to change. And it has to be done looking at groups. As a group, because they're listed as a group. Asians have the highest household income, then they outdo whites by 25%. So you know, here's another point too. I don't get on people because they find themselves on food stamps, but 22% of our population is on food stamps, which I say is a subsidy. But when they receive those food stamps, which amounts to about You know, I don't know how many billion dollars a year, but who do they spend them with? You know, when you start a business, you need a market, and hopefully that market have the means to spend. But you have a government that's putting food stamps in 22% of our population hands, but they aren't spending them with the people of the ethnic group that they hail from, the businesses from the ethnic group that they hail from. That there is a for sure cash flow that we are not taking advantage of. But immigrants are, and Asians or your Arabs, your Chinese, and so on and so on and so on. So those are things that has to be changed. We got to get back to where we can build families. I mean, families, if you don't have a family, I mean, a lot comes out of families. And I'm sorry that, you know, with the disproportionate number of women compared to men, you know, for every 100 women, black women, there's 85 men, not including those that's in prison and those who have gender confusion. And also looking how abortion caused a lot of that. And even if you're saying, well, if we had a baby, how we would take care of it? Let's take care of the economic portion of why come people say that they can't have children. So I just wanted to add, I'm not attacking anybody. I just wanted to put that out there because, as I said before, we had individual millionaires during the height of Jim Crow and slavery.
May I respond to that, please?
Oh, sure, Miss Cindy. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing he says, we have to get back to building families or establishing families. You're absolutely correct, because we no longer, the nuclear family as well as the extended family has diminished, and it's almost non-existent. And moving beyond the family, you have to talk about a community, because in order for the black dollar to rebuild the black community, we have to have the black merchants within our community, and unfortunately, we don't. So when you talk about a group, we as African Americans, we are a part of a group, and that's the federal prison industry, because there's over $864 billion worth of profit that is being made yearly from the federal prison industry. So, again, when I talk about the mindset, I talk to these guys on a day-to-day basis. I work with ex-offenders. I provide anger management. I work with individuals who need to personal growth and development, who need to make positive changes. They will go to prison and work for 23 cents an hour and refuse to work for minimum wage when they come home.
Hello.
There's something wrong with that mentality. So when I say change the thought process, I think that is the beginning, because for some reason, you know, you spoke of food stamps, you know, you talk about low-income housing. If you have a kid, how do you provide care? There's so many of our young mothers who are codependent on a system that won't allow them to be able to move forward. Use the system as a stepping stone. We all have had some rough patches in life. If food stamps is what you need to get to make it ends meet right now, then that's fine. But many of our young people are using it as a way of life.
That's right.
And
that is
where the problem comes in. So when we talk about thought process, and, sir, I agree with what you said, but at the end of the day, we've been socialized into thinking that success is going to come overnight. I don't have to work at it. I don't need anybody else. I can do this on my own. And that's definitely not how it works. The young lady stated, if you think about, take a look at anybody who's successful here, they had a great support system. And they didn't make it to the top on their own.
I think it's all about choices, Ms. Cindy. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you in, but I think it's about choices. I think Kimberly, you know, she stated something, and I know this is an area that we really falter in badly, and it's education. You know, because those that she spoke about who, you know, the magazine she mentioned, Black Enterprises, okay, those who are in this magazine became successful through education. And we don't like to pick up books. We don't like to read. We don't like to learn. You know, we don't want to learn how to live in a country that is based on education. This country is based on education. This is why I think a certain part of America is so upset. They're afraid that we're going to become better. We're going to start to better educate ourselves. So, you know, they put in a lot of fixes, like, you know, sabotage the education system. Hold on.
They're not afraid of the education. They're afraid of the transfer of wealth.
Well, that too. At the same time, you know, if you have been oppressing a certain group of people for so many years, and now all of a sudden they find a way to get from underneath your foot is to become more educated, okay, that is a major threat to them. This is why they never wanted slaves to learn how to read.
Well, if you're talking
because
about...
The more you know, the more you grow, the more you develop.
Yeah, but
the more you,
you
gain.
Know, I was listening to a white school board member on WGNU 920 AM in St. Louis, and he basically said, he said, I can't say it verbatim, his name was Peter Downs. He said, whites are never going to provide the necessary funding where majority black school district can't compete with their children on the economic standpoint. So as long as you're dependent on others to fund that education, I'm not saying that all public schools are bad. A lot of them are. There's some good ones. But until we start providing the object-oriented education for our children, skill training in order to direct them in certain fields, why come, you know, you talk about the black children speaking white. Well, speaking white has nothing to do about proper diction, the structure of a sentence, and the proper application of vocabulary. Speaking white is when a group of black males are sitting around a table and women talking about offshore oil well drilling, equity finance, and leverage buyouts, sanctions, and boycotts. That's speaking white. In the United States, immigrants come here to extract wealth.
That's not speaking white.
Oh, yes, it is.
That's having a conversation. That's not speaking white. That's having a conversation. Who's that speaking white to?
Yeah, but the nature of the conversation. How many black offshore oil well drilling companies do we have? You more opted to find that conversation going on amongst, you know, other ethnic groups, less long that's going on amongst black groups. Now, at one point in time, you did have that history with some families. You know, Jake Simmons' family out of Texas back in the early 20s, but now it's uncommon.
So we need.
And as I said before, I'm not downing anybody. I'm just sharing some information.
No, I'm not gathering that you're downing anyone, and I appreciate your information. You know, still, I say it goes back to, and, you know, Doc is a big advocate of this, education. We need to better educate ourselves. That's the bottom line. And we're not doing that. We're settling, as Miss Cindy said. We're settling. We won't work for minimum wage, but we'll work for, I think she said, 23 cents in penitentiary. We'll sacrifice our freedom. And when I say freedom, you know, we're not locked in a cage, you know.
But I don't think that...
That's insane thinking. That's insane thinking. There is no quick fix here in America. You know, God rest his soul, Biggie said it. You know, either you're slinging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. That's the bottom line. And we need to get out of that kind of thinking.
We need
to get out of that kind of thinking. And this is what a lot of our young men are thinking. You know, they're not being directed to the books. They're not being directed to the books.
Yeah,
there's a lot of knowledge in the books. One of the best books a young black man can read is The Art of War.
Yeah,
okay?
By Sun Tzu.
That is a very good book. And we're not we're not reading enough. We're not telling our youth to read. Read more. Read about yourselves and read about the world that you live in. Read about what you're going to need to live in today's society. We're not telling them that. We're telling them a whole bunch of other garbage.
You got to leave your children with something to build off of. You know, past couple of black generation didn't leave this generation with anything to build off of. I looked at bad decisions that was made, like busing, for instance, and the ramifications that it had. Education comes out of your culture. There's a difference between education and skills. Your education teaches you where to do with those skills. The skills should be used in order to better build and empower, you know, your community, like you see other ethnic groups do, that we talk about them.
Well, doesn't that take some type of unity, sir? There is no unity in our community. It's every man for himself. Survival of the fittest. Well, not in my community. There's very little unity. Every man for himself. Survival of the fittest. Okay.
Violence
is off the chart. Okay, and it's up to the people to make to bring major change, but the people are not getting involved like they need to be. Right now, though, I'm proud of some folks because we've just had some devastating weather here, and people are coming out, okay, and they're helping their own, all right, and I got to give them their props. And so, you know, I see it as, you know what, we can do it if we really want to. So if we follow this initiative of what we're doing right now, wow, look where else we could go. Look where else we can go. Well, we can get together and help those who have lost their homes, families are scattered, people got no heat, no food, okay? If we can get involved like that, wow, there's some major, major steps we can make if we follow suit. If we just don't say, okay, everybody's all right now, let's get back to usual. No, let's keep it going. Because there's some areas that we need to come together on.
I could identify some unity that you say that we say that's not existing. You know, look at the state of Mississippi, which is 37% black. You have 18 counties that's over 67% black on the east and west side of the Mississippi. You have large black population, 30% or more in Louisiana, in South Carolina, North Carolina. Those are marketplaces. Those are markets that we're not exploiting. That is, we're not providing that which we subsidize. We have to manufacture and produce. And it's not impossible. Look what the Koreans done up in the Tri-State area, where they control 95% of the produce that's being produced and also retailed in that area. 30 years, 40 years ago, South Korea was worse off than the country of Ghana, where the average income per year was less than $350. So it takes a plan, a will. We have the people who have the necessary skills and talent, like the lady mentioned on Black Enterprise, and those who've been working for corporations for, you know, decades. At some point in time, they should be competing against those corporations.
Well, listen, I want to thank everybody who called in tonight. I'm going to get last comments and then I'm going to close the show for the evening. I'm going to start off with our last caller, Kimberly. Do you have any final thoughts before I close? Ms. Holmes, Kimberly, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I had it on mute again.
Stop putting the phone on mute, okay? But anyway, do you have any final thoughts?
I feel like really... Again, it's just up to us. I mean, to me personally, there are a lot of things that I'm working on, and as much as I would like support from communities and other races and all that kind of stuff, the reality is that I'm not going to say it's not there, because sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. I think we kind of block ourselves also when we are not open and willing to even communicate with people who are different from us. So I'm just open. I'm reading a book right now. You were talking about, you know, we don't read, and that is so true. I mean, I've heard the statement a lot of times, if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book, which is really sad. But the book is called Thou Shall Prosper, Ten Commandments for Making Money. And it's written by a rabbi, and he talks about how the Jewish are so successful. If you look at the Forbes 400 list, 100 of them on that list are Jewish, the Forbes 400 richest list. So there's obviously something that they know that we need to tap into. And I plan to tap into it. Nobody's going to do it for me. I recognize that. So I got to do what I got to do. And that's what I'm doing. So that's what I recommend to other people. And, again, you can tell folks, but they won't always listen. And you just got to keep it moving.
Oh, thank you so much. You want to plug your book before we go? Want to tell us about your book?
Sure.
Give us your website.
The name of the book is called From Hustlers to Holiness. It's a book that's based on my life story. I used to be involved with a major drug dealer here in the D.C. area. Also in the back of the book, because I really want to get the book, I don't know who the person, the young lady, I think her name is Cindy, says she works with ex-offenders, and I talk a lot to ex-offenders because a lot of times they come back out and they do the things that got them incarcerated in the first place. So the book also lists different books and references and information that they can use that can take them from being out there selling drugs and take that same entrepreneurial spirit, because that's all a drug dealer is an entrepreneur, and turn it into something legitimate. So the book is available on Amazon. I'm also on Facebook. Author K.A. Holmes. And Tony, thanks for letting me put the plug in. Appreciate that. And it was good listening in and talking to everybody.
And again, thanks for calling in. Ms. Cindy, any final thoughts?
I just want to say great show. Excellent commentary. And the young lady spoke a little too fast for me. I was trying to get her information. If she could repeat the name of her book, I would greatly appreciate that.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, let me direct you to the website. That's probably easier. It's Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, four, and U, the letter U, .com. So it's Kimberly Writes for You, .com. And the name of the book is From Hustlers to Holiness. And I chose that title because I grew up in a church. Father was a pastor. And like I said, got involved with a drug dealer. So as you can imagine, that's quite interesting in and of itself. And then got back into the church. And so now I'm trying to do some things to help these guys make some better choices.
I would love to link up with you. How do I find you on Facebook?
It's Elect Lady Kim. Facebook.com/elect, E-L-E-C-T, Lady, L-A-D-Y, Kim. Or if you're friends with Tony, I'm one of his friends, so you can find me through that also.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to working with you, lady. We got to work together in order to
help
our people.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Okay, thank you, too. I would love to.
Ms. Cindy, you want to tell us about your show this week? What you got coming up this week?
This week we're talking about what exactly is it that men want from women.
Uh-oh.
That's Tuesday at 8 p.m. on the Ms. Cindy Show, the Socially Incorrect Talk Show. So we're going to talk about relationships. What do men really want? So I invite you guys, please come and share your thoughts. Chime in.
Why the pressure got to be on the men? You know what I mean? Wow, we got to call in and get ripped up.
Cindy, I definitely
you know y'all gonna
be
waiting.
I
know you got your gang waiting. I mean, Miss Ann and them, that's gonna be something. I'm gonna be there anyway. But thank you, Shanae. Are you still there? You have any final comments?
Yes, I am. That was a very interesting show. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Any final thoughts?
No problem, Tony. Always.
Yes, you want to plug what you do here in New York City?
Yes, I'm an organization called Life Support National. Unfortunately, my family, a victim of gun violence, lost our son 2 years ago. And since then, we've been really trying to raise awareness, get support to families and victims who are often forgot about, just really, you know, try to help people rebuild their lives.
Okay, and how do people get in touch with you?
You can send me an email, lifesupportnational@aol.com, or you can give me a call at 347-653-5528. About a month ago, we had a dinner for fathers that have lost children to gun violence, and that was it's powerful. My husband spoke, and we had a speaker there, and just really from the male perspective, you know, and what happens to relationships after a loss such as that. And so, you know, my husband and I, we feel very fortunate to have been able to, excuse me, those are my boys, not too many couples can overcome a loss of a child. And so, you know, that's basically what life support is, rebuilding the family, being a lifeline to the community, and then rebuilding from a tragic loss.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. Thanks for calling in, Shanae.
I'll be in touch.
And the gentleman, I didn't get your name, sir. 314-381. You have any comment?
My birth name is Pianchi, and I agree with the reading. There's books like Tribes, T-R-I-B-E-S, by Jewel Copeland, whose subtitle is How Race, Religion, and Identity Determine Success in a Global Economy, Blueprint for Black Power by Amos Wilson, and also another book that was written based on a journalist for the Pittsburgh Tribune by the name of George Shuler called Empire, Black Empire. Very good book. And, you know, those that would like to see some pure, straight-out economic development, just drive into Flushing, New York, in some areas where you've got 35 banks in a two-block area and over 200 restaurants. And we have to look and see how these immigrants come into the United States and able to pull something like that off. And in lower Manhattan, where 250,000 Chinese have occupied and took over the garment industry from the Jews.
You're absolutely correct, sir. As a New Yorker, I can definitely say that is true. That is true. Chinatown, lower Manhattan, and Flushing, which I call, you know, the Queens, the borough of Queens, Chinatown.
And you know another point is that how is it that the Chinese have a standing vibe that they don't buy anything from African Americans, from black people, and if they do sell you something, when you go to buy it wholesale, it's going to be 25% more so that you won't be able to compete with their own retailers that's operating in your community.
Wow, so you got to come back on my show because, you know, that's something that we need to discuss at another time. So I want to thank you for calling in, though. Please, are you on Facebook? Is there any way that I can reach you?
Well, yeah, you can find me on Facebook. The contact me is Pianchi Bankole, B-A-N-K-O-L-E, P-I-A-N-K-I, B-A-N-K-O-L-E, and send me a message. I'll check back with you.
Please, sir. Please, it was a pleasure having you on the show tonight. I want to thank all my callers for your comments and your insights. Thank you so much. We had a great show tonight. I'm going to close, but before I do, America is the land of opportunity. That's what they say. They say that's why everybody comes here. Those of us that were born and raised here, okay, we got no excuses. It's time to wake up and pay attention. I've heard a lot of what we can do. I've heard solutions tonight. I definitely heard solutions. I don't know about anybody else, but I heard solutions. There are no more excuses for what we can't do. because I've heard the solutions of how we can do it. Now the question is, what are we going to do? And when are we going to do it? And what will it take? Listen, my name is Tony Nix. I'm the founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. I'm an activist against gun violence. As you know, gun violence is a crisis in America. Our troubled youth and young adults are gunning each other down on a daily basis in every urban community in the nation. It is time to get involved in your community and say enough is enough. Listen, it's been great. And as always, God loves you and so do I. So listen. Let's start to practice no violence so we will truly know peace. That's KNOW. Deuces. Good night, everybody.
I know, babe. and a sweaty face. Hey, move.